onto the moon and climbed back up and went in. Not this thing. This is 160 feet tall. This is 7 times higher than the left. They're way at the top of this rocket now, sitting on the moon. I mean, it's incredible. So they have this door that's going to open up. You know, they have a, of course, you know, an airlock. In fact, this thing has to have 2 airlocks. Crew 2, with nobody left inside. Nobody left inside. The 2 crew is going to go down on some kind of a rope cable system. I guess it's all electronic, and they're going to ride this thing down like, you know, like you're on the outside of a building, you know, washing windows or something. And it's going to ride all the way down to the surface, this 160-foot drop. And now they get out, and they investigate the moon. And every time they do an EVA, they're going to come back up again. So this thing's going to be going up and down a couple of times during the week. With nobody up on top, if this motor breaks or something happens, you know, there's nobody like to throw another rope down and say, you know, come on, you know, I'll pull you up or something. Which I guess you could. You're in 1/6 gravity. But, you know, they're going to have to work all these things out. So, 1 second. WS2N for ID. Okay, so let's say the week is over. They magically get back into the top of this rocket, and hopefully the engines light again. You know, again, on the bottom of this thing, there's 6 engines. Hopefully the 3 engines that are, you know, have enough fuel in it will relight, take off, and you know, stop with the Orion spacecraft that's still flying around with 2 people in it. Because you went to the moon with 4 people, so I think you've got 2 people in it. You dock with the Orion spacecraft. The other 2 get in. Now you got 4 people in the Orion spacecraft. You deorbit the moon. Who knows what they're going to do with the Starship. Is the Starship going to light its engines up again? Not coming home. It doesn't have any wings. So what do you do with it? Maybe they'll send it into heliocentric orbit around the sun. I don't know. And anyway, the crew will then come back on the Orion spacecraft again. You know, go through the atmosphere, 25,000 miles an hour, parachutes, you know, heat shield parachutes, and then the Pacific Ocean. Look at all the rockets that are involved, the fuel and everything that's involved to put 2 people on the surface of the moon. In 1969, when Neil Armstrong went up, sat 5 rockets. It was 1 rocket with 5 massive engines, 5 F1 engines. But, you know, all right, it was 7.5 million pounds of thrust, but it was 1 rocket. They went up, the Apollo spacecraft separated from the whole stack and then turned around 180 degrees. Went back in, grabbed the whole of the LEM that was in the top of the rocket at the time, backed it out, and the 2 of them flew all the way to the moon, separated, went down to the moon. You know, left one fella up in the command module, Mike Collins, and then they came back up after they were, you know, did their spacewalk. They docked and came back. One big rocket did all this. I don't know how many, I lost track of how many rockets I was talking about. So, you know, I don't know what they think. I mean, I hope it all works out, though. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about on the net. This is WS2N. Any questions, comments? Good questions, Frank.
Yes, the B2BS. So, thanks. Yeah, I was kind of flabbergasted yesterday. I saw in my YouTube list that's come up on Saturday, SpaceX won the contract, and I'm like, what are they talking about? I don't know. These space cowboys are nuts. But hopefully they'll actually get a Starship to fly this week and give us some hope that this can actually work. Anyway, I'll be listening to the B2BX.
Yeah, we'll look for that. Every Tuesday, they have another Starship, SN-15, I think this is. They keep blowing these things up, but they skipped let's see, the last one I blew up was 11, so. They blew up 8, 9, 10, and 11. 12 and 13 and 14, they scratched. That's an old design as far as they're concerned. They went with number 15. So 15 is out of the launch pad. They're going to test the engines on Tuesday and probably fly at the end of the week. And hopefully it makes it back to safe Texas ground on, you know, whenever they do that. And this iteration of the Starship is better than the last four that they blew up. But, decision apparently was made by the acting administrator of NASA right now. But eventually he's going to be moved out. Joe Biden has picked another senator of Florida, Bill Nelson, to be the NASA administrator. But he officially hasn't been confirmed yet by the Senate. I mean, it's going to be very shortly, very short time from now, that he will now be the administrator. So I'm starting to wonder, you know, did NASA just say, well, let's make, you know, one grand decision before, you know, before I'm out of office. You know, this one guy that's in charge, I mean, he's doing a good job, but, I mean, somebody, I mean, it, you know, that's what I'm saying. If this is a contract, and this is something that can't be reversed, you know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, I would go with the Gateway system. Go back to 2028, unless you're going to pour a lot more money into it, and go back with the original system, right? Because it's a lot safer. SpaceX wants to do it on his own in the future. He can launch all the starships he wants, refuel them up in orbit, go to the moon himself, and land there. He doesn't even want to go to the moon anyway. He wants to go to Mars, that guy. So, I'm looking at the time. I'm going to put everybody to sleep, I know it. This is WS2N. I'm going to turn it back to Roy, AC2GS. Let's see. I'm looking at this. We had 10 after already. Back to you, Roy, WS2N.
Very good, Paul. You could go on as much as you want. Everyone enjoys listening to you. I want to thank Paul for all he does and for the SpaceNet report. I want to thank Andy, WA2CDL, for Andy's Corner. I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. I think we had an interesting conversation about a bunch of things, and, you know, antenna physics is always something I like to talk about, so I appreciated the opportunity, and I hope I gave some people some idea of what I was trying to convey. As always, you guys who participate make or break a technical mess, so I appreciate your continued participation in this exercise. And again, want to advise people, if you want to get in touch with me or have me get in touch with Paul, you can use my email address, which is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. The links are available for a whole bunch of interesting articles and YouTube, so please avail yourself of them. They'll be up all the time. You just point your browser at roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll get you to my link page. Remember, if you need a internet feed for W2VL, our repeater, you can type technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll do that for you. And always remember that Mike, AC2NJI, has a great archive of technical nets that go as far back as September of 2006. It's over there at amateurradio.tv. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, as always, I like to finish things up by quoting one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick K2RIW, who used to run this TechNet, who's now unfortunately at the silent key. Very often end the technical net with some version of be kind to each other. And that was always good advice, but nowadays it's especially important. The virus is still with us. The infection rate is starting to ebb, thankfully. Vaccinations are progressing in a timely manner. So please, if you can get vaccinated, do get vaccinated. Please keep to social distancing until it's not necessary, and be safe, and take care of yourselves, and please come back next Sunday night when we'll try and do this all over again. So this is AC2GS, and please have a safe and good week, and come back and come back with questions next Sunday. So this is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
Got time for a quick question in one YDY?
Yes, Hank. Sure, I have time.
Can you point me in the direction of some place where it explains a gamma match in the way that a poor guy like me can understand?
Well, there's a lot of them. Some of them are just simple drawings. Some of them are theoretical. I'll get together a couple of them and I'll email it to you. Usually pictures are much better than the spoken word for things like this.
Yeah, because I've looked at a couple of things that I've Googled and I'm just having a hard time visualizing how this actually works from a wave propagation point of view.
Yeah, it's not very obvious. You would prefer, I would prefer simple discrete components, whereas this is somewhere where there's just this extra stub of conductive material that's being introduced that seems to be changing the impedance somehow. It's not really that obvious when you look at one.
Yep, I've got a gamma match on a Yagi that I've been looking at, and I really don't understand it, and I've looked at a couple of things on Google trying to figure it out. Just, so if you have something you like, I'd love to see it, because I'm not getting it to what I'm looking at.
Okay, I'll take a look sometime this week, and I'll send it over to you. I was sort of thinking, as Andy was mentioning, how the driven element of a Yagi, because it's in the near field for the parasitic element, it does hell with the impedance. And so you need something like that. And one of the very common matches that are used for Yagis is a gamma match. So I was kind of thinking of gamma matches in the back of my head when Andy made that comment. But yeah, it's not an easy concept to figure out, because it doesn't really immediately make much sense. But I'll try and find something that's descriptive and hopefully will help you with it.
All right, well, I'm going to say thank you in 7-3. This is N1YDY.
And AC2GS is clear.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Next tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning, the time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
WB2CMS Mobile is listening.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL.
K2KMB from WB2GSE.
Thank you.
Say 2KMB, WB2ZSC.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. How are you? KMB.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, it's past 5, yeah.
What's
up? 8:30 already. I
guess you're on the road. Yes, and I'm well into Queens, although the day did have a little bit of a rocky start.
Why was that?
I'll tell you on the telephone.
My kids were out. We had a memorial service for a friend who had passed away. And one of them goes to Westchester and the other goes to the city. And there must have been a bad accident on the LIE because Round Swamp just backed up completely. And I was concerned that both highways were that way, but apparently their waves told them to take the northern state, so I guess they were okay. Living on Long Island is such fun.
Yeah, I guess. You know, one way or the other, you got to get around. You know, in my case, the other. End up with all the back roads. Anyway, nothing good comes of early morning phone calls.
Ah, do you want to give me a call now?
Yeah, it's not super important, but yeah, I'll give you a break. Give me a minute. WB2ZSC.
K2KND.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL receiver.
Thank you. copy, Elizabeth.
Thank you.